The six conservative justices on the Supreme Court signaled this week that they're likely to uphold the Mississippi law that mostly bans abortion after 15 weeks of pregnancy. The question now is how far they'll go.
The Supreme Court is on the brink of a mess, doctrinal, practical, and political, and it's hard to see how it is going to extricate itself. Overruling Roe would get the court largely out of the abortion deciding business, but it would create a political firestorm just before the midterm elections.
That's our guest, Ruth Marcus, the Post's deputy editorial page editor. Ruth's a Yale-educated and Harvard-trained lawyer. This week, she's out with a really important essay on the radicalization of the Supreme Court. After the court heard the most important case on reproductive rights in a generation, there was no one I wanted to discuss it with more than Ruth. Here's our conversation. Well, Ruth, this week we saw the big, long-awaited Supreme Court oral arguments. How nervous are you about the future of Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood v. Casey after listening to what transpired on Wednesday?
As nervous as I've ever been, more nervous now, if that's possible, than I was before the oral argument. I thought the advocates did a very good job of arguing against the Mississippi law, and I thought the argument went about as badly for them and for women across this country as it could have gone.
Obviously, how the court chooses to uphold Mississippi's 15-week ban matters a great deal. What are the options that the justices have, and why does it matter?
I thought in a case where the advocates on either side could not have disagreed more, it was actually really remarkable that both the Solicitor General of Mississippi arguing to uphold the law and the lawyer for the Center for Constitutional Rights arguing on behalf of the clinic against the law actually both agreed that anything short of overruling Roe or upholding Roe wasn't going to be administrable in the future. There was going to be no way of logically, intellectually, coherently stopping at 15 weeks. But I think that's not going to necessarily stop the court. It hasn't always in the past. Here's what the court can do. It can say, okay, previously, we have applied what we call this undue burden standard to restrictions on abortions before viability. So that could be things like you have to wait for 24 hours or 48 hours. You have to, if you're a woman seeking an abortion, the same doctor has to give you, perform the sonogram as performs the abortion. That doctor has to give you a description of what the procedure is and what the alternatives might be, things like that. It could take that undue burden standard and say, okay, even though we've previously said that there can be no flat-out prohibition on abortion before viability, that is, before 24 weeks, what they could say is, all right, in the past, we have said that all prohibitions on abortion, flat-out prohibitions as opposed to restrictions, are unconstitutional until the point of viability. So 15 weeks, it's not that much earlier than 24 weeks. It doesn't sound that bad to us. Most abortions, about 90% of them, take place in the first trimester in any event. So what's the big deal? Now, the problem with that argument is there are some women who are not able to obtain abortions before the end of the first trimester. There are some women who develop health problems or whose fetus is diagnosed with abnormalities into the second trimester. For those women, telling them they can't have an abortion at 15 weeks is an undue burden, and as well as for women who haven't been able to scrape together the money and time and everything else in order to obtain the abortion. So you could imagine, and listening to the Chief Justice, you could imagine him saying, okay, we're not saying anything more. We're going to just tell you that 15 weeks is fine, and we're going to leave everything else to the future. But it is not a line that can coherently hold.